What a beautiful song. And it speaks so much truth because there is no one like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There have many claimed to be as great or even greater, but yet we know truth. And the truth is there is no one greater than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no one that can heal us like our Savior. There is no one to carry our burdens like our Savior. There is no one who sacrificed more for me than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what a beautiful and fitting song that is. This morning, once again, I'd like to welcome our visitors from Iowa Mennonite School. It's a blessing to have you here. And in case I don't get the opportunity before we leave, thank you for bringing the bratwurst and sauerkraut. I have not had bratwurst and sauerkraut since I lived in Germany, which was quite a few years ago. So I look forward to that. This morning we're going to be going into part 9 of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I had thought about finishing this series today, but as I was studying the last few chapters, or the last few verses in chapter 7, I realized to do that today, we would have to be here for a few hours, or I would have to stop in a spot that would not be good. So, if you did not have anything to be thankful for this week, you do now because this sermon will be very short. It is only going to be 2 verses. But, make no mistake, these 2 verses are probably 2 of the most important verses in the Bible. Without these verses, there's a good chance a lot of us would still be lost. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 13. Jesus spoke and said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." No truer words were ever spoken. And what Jesus is describing here is we have one of 2 choices to make in our life. And again, do not mistake the importance of this choice, because this choice is the most important choice that any of us will either make or have ever made. Because depending on what we choose and which gate we choose to go through will determine where we wind up. Friends, we have to constantly remind ourselves as we go through our daily walks here on earth that everything here is temporary. There is something greater or worse to come. And our choice in what gate we decide to go through will determine our final outcome. Amen? And so Jesus has made these 2 verses very clear. Again, let us understand that this isn't Burger King. We can't have it our way. We have no pickles, extra pickles, no cheese. You know, the world loves choices, and the more choices the world has, the more they like it. But Jesus tells us there is only but 2 choices, the narrow gate or the wide gate. And it's kind of saddening for me when I read that Jesus says only a few will walk through the narrow gate and choose the path of righteousness, the path of salvation, the path that leads to eternal life. And Jesus warns us again, as he does in other places in Scripture, that if we choose to enter through the narrow gate, understand that it's not going to be all peaches and cream. He warns us that this travel will be difficult. And he warns us at times it will be hard. But he also tells us in Scripture that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So every problem that I encounter on this path if I choose to go through the narrow gate and take the narrow path, any problems that I encounter, any sorrows that I encounter, any difficulties that I encounter, I am promised that I will not encounter them alone. Amen? He will not leave us nor forsake us. He gives us all the tools and all the things that we need to overcome these issues that we face as we walk the narrow path. And all He requires from us is to step boldly in faith and enter in through the narrow gate. Now, this wide gate that Jesus speaks about, He doesn't speak about it'll be hard. In fact, He says just the opposite. He says it'll be easy. And from my own personal experience, normally it was easier for me when I lived in the world than it is for me when I live as a Christian. Because Jesus also tells us that if we follow Him, a lot of things are going to happen. We will be persecuted. We will be looked down upon. And at times, some of us may be called upon to be a martyr. Following Jesus Christ could eventually lead up to our earthly death. And the thing that I find so amazing about Jesus, He don't try to hide none of this. He gives us the whole enchilada. He tells us the whole truth, just like we must tell the whole truth. And so as we go about our daily lives and living our daily lives and we interact with people and the Holy Spirit gives us an opportunity to talk about the narrow gate and the wide gate and the narrow path and the wide path, we must be careful to speak the truth. It would not be wise of us to go and tell one of our non-believing relatives or friends, oh, once you accept Jesus Christ, everything is perfect. You'll have no more worries. You'll have no more sorrow, no more pain, no more stumbling blocks, no more roadblocks. If we are to tell them this, then we are hypocrites and we are Pharisees. Amen? What we must tell them is, yes, you'll have tribulation and you'll have trials and you'll have difficulties, but the only difference between now and if you accept Jesus Christ, is you'll no longer have to face them on your own. Before we come to know Jesus Christ, and even now that we know Jesus Christ, so many times when we face tribulation and trials, the very first thing that we try to do is figure them out on our own. And if you notice in this scripture, Jesus has kind of gone away from teaching us how to live a Christ-like life, and that for me is what the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus is giving us instruction on how to live a life like He did. And that's what He calls us to do. And if we go back and remember in chapter 5 at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us the framework and how to live this Christ-like life. He gave us the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes is exactly that for me. It gives me framework on how to live this Christ-like life that Jesus calls me to live. And then throughout verse 6, the instructions become a little more to point. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. He tells us all these things that we must do to live this Christ-like life. Now, what He has done is reminded us how this all started. Your walk with the Lord started when you chose in faith and nothing more. Because if we look at this gate, Jesus says that this narrow gate leads to the path. So the very first thing we must do and we must have done to accept Christ as our Savior is to choose to walk through this narrow gate. And most of us walk through this narrow gate with very little knowledge of who Christ really is. But you see, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, and there comes a time when we chose to walk through that narrow gate, and as we stepped through it, guess what happened? The Lord let us see the truth. He opened up our blinded eyes to who He truly is. And then we had loving Christians that helped us to understand even more of who Christ was and the importance of accepting Christ as our Savior. And we grew in our walk, and they helped us stay on this narrow path. Why do we do this? Why do we help our brothers and sisters who do not know Christ? Why do we go through the trouble of helping them seek and find this narrow gate? And when they choose to walk through it, we help them to stay on the narrow path when the wider path is so much easier to walk. We do this because we love them, amen? But we also do this because somebody in your life at some point took the time to do it for you. And if it was not for that person, you may not be sitting here today. If it was not for the man at the gas station that handed me that tract that allowed me to make up my mind finally to understand who Christ is and come to understand that I could not fix myself before I accepted Christ, that I must accept Christ and then I would be fixed. Someone showed me the narrow gate. Another one showed me the importance of walking through the narrow gate. And then another one and another one and another one helped me walk the narrow path. And that's what God is calling us to do as Christians. And again, part of our Christian walk with Him and to live this Christ-like life. If we are to go out and spread the gospel as the Great Commission entails us to do, then we must understand how to start. We must remember where our start or where we began in our Christian walk. And again, we must remind people that there is truly only two choices. We are either going to enter through the narrow gate and walk the narrow path, or we're going to enter through the wide gate and walk the wide path that leads to destruction. And they're not going to understand it, just like at first we did not understand it. And so again, it's so important that we allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. You know, if we see Joe Smith walking down the street and we just pop it in our mind, I'm going to go and tell him all about this, and the Holy Spirit has not led us to do it, we are going to mess it all up. Because it's only through the knowledge of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that we understand it. And at times we really struggle understanding it. And that's okay. Because if we understood it all and we comprehended it all, then why would we need the Holy Spirit? God designed His Word this way. So if you ever get to a point that you truly are struggling to understand something, just pray. And in time, the Lord will show it to you. I don't mean to point you young ones out, but I use my kids all the time, and now that you're here, I'll give them a break. But one thing I want to tell you is this. Don't become discouraged. That is the devil's greatest tool, not only with people your age, but with people my age as well. We start reading God's Word, and we struggle with what does it really mean. And the devil's whispering in your ear, "I'll just give up, it's too hard, you'll never figure it out." It's nothing but a lie, he's full of them. If you never give up, and you constantly seek the Lord in prayer, the Lord will show you what it is He wants you to see when He wants you to see it. And then you'll be amazed, wow, it took me this long to figure this out. But then the Lord's also going to show you why it is He waited to show you what it is that He shows you. He has a purpose for everything He does. God does not do anything haphazard. He doesn't do anything without purpose. And it's not for us to always understand what that purpose is. All we are to do is to be able to identify it when He shows it. And if we become discouraged, then we'll not be able to see it when He gives it. So staying focused on Him and staying encouraged. And the way that our encouragement, or our the way we stay encouraged is by each other. Amen? You know, it was rough when I was a kid for young adults who claimed to be Christians. They were called all kinds of things, Bible thumpers and this and that. And, you know, you can't, we can't invite so-and-so to this because they're Christians and they'll tail on us or whatever the case may be. But it's even harder nowadays, I think. I think you guys have it harder than we had it. With technology the way it is today, nothing stays a secret. I thought growing up in Ovid, 7 miles from here, nothing was ever kept a secret. Because no matter what I did wrong, my parents knew about it before I got home. And we didn't have social media. But we had the mother network. And it was quicker than any Facebook page that you could find on your phone. But it stayed in the family. Now, I find out something about Brother Arden, I can let the whole world know with a click of a button. Yep, he's on that wide path again. Better text all the prayer warriors. Arden slipped. And then they'll go to share something, but share the wrong thing, and they'll share what I shared about Arden, and wow, it gets crazy. So we must remember that Jesus tells us that there will be suffering on this narrow path. You guys are getting ready to go to the mountains. Have you ever been to the mountains before? Any of you? You have? Have you ever wandered off the path and decided, I'm just going to go my way? Did you get lost? Yeah. Like I was saying, I grew up 7 miles from here, and there's a creek that runs on the edge of our town, and it's covered with a bunch of trees around it. And there's a path that leads through this creek, alongside this creek. It's probably been there for, as long as the town's been there. And hundreds of kids have walked down this path. And as a child, and as a teenager, and as a young adult, I walked down this path. And what is amazing, I hardly ever stepped off of it, especially in the fall. See, as a young child, I'd gotten bitten by a water moccasin. I didn't see it. It was under a bunch of leaves. And so I think that's one reason, even though I know there was nothing around this creek, as many people that walked through there couldn't have been too much to harm me. But yet I did not want to step off the path. And so I stayed on it because I felt safe. And the same thing applies here. As long as we stay on the narrow path, even sometimes that path gets to where we have to walk 1 foot in front of the other. It's better to slow down and walk 1 foot in front of the other and stay on the narrow path than it is to speed up and get off this narrow path. As a child, we milked cows. And in the fall, when the time changed, whoever came up with daylight savings time, Lord bless them. But by the time we would get done milking the cows, it would be dark. Well, me and my brother had walked from our house to the barn so many times, we had wore a path through the pasture. And we knew coming back in the dark that we needed to stay on this path because we could not see what was on either side of it. And heaven help us if we spilt that milk coming home. My dad loved that straight from the cow's milk. And if we spilt it, we were in trouble. And so we stayed on the path because it was familiar. And the more familiar we come with this narrow path, the easier it is for us to stay on it. And the less desire we have to stray from it. Even in the hard times, it becomes easier and easier for us to stay with it. So Jesus says there's two gates. There's two paths. There's two groups of travelers. And there's two destinations. Jesus says that there are no other options but those two. There are no other gates. There are no other paths. There are no neutral party travelers. Whether people realize it or not, you're traveling on one of two paths, and that's all there is. And a lot of times when people say they want to go through the narrow gate, and some people claim they have gone through the narrow gate, but this is what they would like to happen. They want that third option still. They want that third option that says, yes, I want Jesus as my Savior, but I don't really want to follow Him fully and 100%. I want to have my cake and eat it too. They think there is this path that they can follow, that they can just follow Jesus when it's convenient for them. And because the devil will blind them with his lies, they truly believe it's okay to only serve the Lord every now and then. And yet Jesus says, no, that is not true. There is no other way. You see, Jesus wants us to lay down everything. And He wants us to follow His plans and His ways. So in reality, either a person follows Jesus full out and on the narrow path, or he doesn't. That's pretty simple. There's not a whole lot to interpret here. Jesus says, you either follow me fully, or you're not following me at all. You may fool yourself into believing that you are, but you're not. So how can we know if we're giving Jesus 100%? How do we know if we're still on the narrow path? How do we know our salvation is real, that we are truly saved? For me, and that's all I can give you, is my own personal thought and my own personal feeling. Is I constantly desire to please the Lord. I wish I would have grasped all this sooner, at a younger age. Because then I could have done more for the Lord. But the Lord has His own way of doing things. And the Lord is using me now, even at the age that I am today. But if you choose to follow the Lord, what did He tell the church at Laodiceus in the book of Revelation? He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. He would rather you be cold or hot, but not lukewarm. And for those who think that it's okay to only serve the Lord when it's convenient, and it's okay to only serve the Lord when it suits you, you are this church. You have become lukewarm. And Jesus says He will spit you out of His mouth. And if a person truly loves the Lord and is truly been saved by the Lord, it doesn't mean that we don't struggle, and it doesn't mean that at times our faith becomes weak. But it doesn't stay that way for months and months and months and months. Because the Holy Spirit convicts us when we do wrong. The Holy Spirit convicts us when we are not doing things as the Lord wants them done. And when we feel that conviction, we should get on our knees and thank the Lord for it. Because for those who do not have the Lord, they don't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, they do know that what is right and what is wrong. We are all born with that ability and that sense of right or wrong. But it is only once we have accepted Jesus Christ that He comes to dwell within us. He is our comforter and He is our teacher and He is our guide. He is the one that will guide us through all the traps and snares of this world. Amen? So if we choose to walk the narrow path, we must choose to do it wholeheartedly with everything that the Lord has given us. Amen? Even through the dark times. Because these two verses, they tell us where the final destinations are. And as long as we remember that this here, all this, is just temporary, everything that you face, young people, every hard time that you have to go through, every girlfriend that breaks up with you, every boyfriend that breaks up with you, every dance you didn't get asked to, it's just temporary. But the Lord will comfort you with that too. The Lord wants the small things as well as the big things. So in closing, as we get ready to leave the Lord's house this morning, let us remember this. Nothing in all of your life is of greater significance than this choice of whether you will follow Jesus or not. The Sermon on the Mount is not about a call to improve a little. It is a call to a life of radical, absolute discipleship. That's the choice before each and every one of us today. Radical. You know what, you want to know what radical is? Go back and watch some videos from the late 60s and early 70s. But you know what else is radical? Or who else was radical? The people who decided to plant this church here. You don't just wake up one morning and decide, yep, I'm going to go plant a church. Every single church that has ever been planted in this country and anywhere in the world took somebody to have a radical thought. Someone to step out in faith and saying, I'm going to put it all on the line. I'm going to put it all out there for Jesus Christ because I believe that it is His will that I do this. And regardless of what takes place, Jesus is in charge. If this church is going to prosper, and if this church is going to grow, it's only because Jesus Christ wills it. And we are willing vessels that sit in here, and we hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, and we do as He directs. So a lot of people think that radical is bad. But in reality, that's exactly what the disciples were. Amen? Amen? You want to talk about some radical people. And they were all so full of faults. They had bucket loads of faults. So don't let anybody tell you that you're never good enough to serve the Lord. Or that you have too much baggage. The Lord has a multitude of angels to carry your baggage for you. He don't want you to carry it. He got angels that wear sky caps. And they'll carry it for you. And they'll transfer it from plane to plane as the Lord leads you from here to there to there to there. But Jesus, his Sermon on the Mount, tells us to be radical, absolute disciples. And the only way that we can accomplish that is to serve Him with 100% of what we have 100% of the time. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for the encouragement that it gives us. Father, we thank You for this sermon on the mount that You have provided for us that we can study and that we can meditate on and that we can apply to our own lives. Father, as we prepare to leave Your house this morning, we would ask, Father, that You would allow someone to enter into our lives this week that we might be able to share this truth with, that we might be able to direct and lead to this narrow gate, that the Holy Spirit may be able to convict them and to open their eyes to the truth, that they may walk through this narrow gate onto the path of righteousness and salvation, that You may be glorified and that Your kingdom may be extended by one person at a time, Father. Father, let everything that we do in this upcoming week be done to glorify You, that Your light may shine through us. Father, we ask for a special blessing on the young ones here today. And Father, we thank You for the adults who take the time to be with these young ones and to teach them and mentor them and to show them the truth about who You are. So, Father, bless them on their travels, and we'll be sure to give You the praise and the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, Amen. Amen.